I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's football ramble time, everybody. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's with me.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And you're here, the listeners. God bless you all. Let's get on with it. It is the football ramble, everybody. We've made it once again. We're in each other's arms. My goodness, it's good to have you. Good to have you all, Jim and Luke.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, I've certainly got all radio.
Yeah, you have a bit.
The time is... but how about this? Robert Downey Jr. is apparently providing the voice of Mark Zuckerberg's personal voice assistant.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
It's a good choice, isn't it? It's a very good choice. I mean, if you were thinking of... Because essentially, Mark Zuckerberg, what he's doing there is he's getting a cool voice for his personal voice assistant, but at the same time, he's saying to the rest of the world, I can do whatever I want. Mm.
My Jarvis is Iron Man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty amazing.
I'm trying to think, it's hard to think of someone in Hollywood or even in the world of music or whatever who would be better than that. It'd be quite nice to have a bit of Keith Richards in there, wouldn't it? Sometimes.
Yeah. Keith Richards?
Yeah.
Coming out your mobile.
Go out for another drink. Yeah, Morgan Freeman would be brilliant.
Do you want a bit of wisdom all the time?
I think I'd like different ones for different sort of situations.
But this is not Siri, is it? It's something a little bit different. So Morgan Freeman, though, if he was Siri, that would be really good because you'd ask him a question and he wouldn't go, well, I found this on the internet. He'd give you the answer.
Yeah, I presume it's something along the lines of like Amazon Alexa where you can talk to the and it talks back to you or whatever. Okay. I don't really know, but the point is he's got Danny Jr. and that's a superb choice. I don't know how much he paid him. It wasn't in the article I saw, but it was funny anyway.
Well, if you could choose someone from football to voice yours, who would you choose, Jim?
I would. It's quite a new one, screaming into the charts of good football voices. I would go for young Hector Bellerin because he's got that adorable like Spanish Cockney mix that I've never heard on anyone else because he's been in London for a long time now. But I think you'd get the kind of Latin cool sound of the Spanish accent, but also the sort of, you know, the Cockney wisdom of the Cockney accent. Yeah. So if I'm asking for advice from him, which I would probably do from an assistant, to be honest, then I'd like that.
Do you think as well, he's obviously a quick player, do you think like the response would be even more rapid?
Absolutely rapid. Yeah. Like he'd be answering before I'd finish the question.
Overlapping you.
Yeah.
Yes. he'd finish your questions for you, then answer it.
He would. Right. He's also, he looks a bit like Adam Driver, doesn't he, from Star Wars?
He's going that way. Yeah, he's going that way, yeah. Which, I mean, it's not really a feature for a voice assistant, but I do tell the point.
No, but we'd have little chats about it.
Maybe when they develop the assistants, the voice assistants, they can pop up on the screen of whatever device you're using and talk to you like in James Bond or whatever, where they're on the little video screen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Then it'd be great that he'd look like Adam Driver.
That would be very good. Luke, who are you going for?
I went around the houses a bit with this one. I thought, you know, if I'm getting a voice assistant to sort of get me out of bed and trying to get me motivated for the day, I probably wouldn't choose this guy. But then, having said that, I saw that it was an altercation this week with some official from Odense.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm going for Craigie Brown.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because his voice is so smooth.
Very soothing. That was a few years ago, that one.
Oh, was it? Okay. I only saw the story this week.
I think it was about 6 years ago. Right. He's not still managing, is he?
No, but I didn't know. He still abused
people, I suppose.
He might have been over there as part of a UEFA delegation and just...
now you're talking.
Throwing his right hand around.
Get involved in the tear-up.
But he'd be good because he imagine him listing what you could have for breakfast.
He'd list everything.
He would list all the choices. Yeah. It'd make you think anything was possible.
Actually, wouldn't that be a bad thing for an assistant, though, if it just gave you painstakingly, gave you every option?
I imagine after 2 weeks, I'll be going, Craig, cut to the chase,
turn yourself back to Morgan Freeman, please.
That's right, yeah. You said, Craig, sing us a song. Not those songs. People in Scotland know what I'm talking about. I would go for Barry Davis.
Fair.
Standard.
Yeah. Hang on, standard.
Maybe standard.
Why'd you say you're cheapen that? That's a great one.
It would be great. And I even say in our book, which is out on Thursday, that if I could choose any commentator, because I talk about football in the media, if I could have any commentator to commentate on my life, I do choose Barry Davis.
There we are. So we're all agreed.
I also nip it in the bud when people are going to read that chapter about commentators and essentially decide within themselves that Kenneth Wolstenholme is the greatest ever commentator. Incorrect. Barry Davis,
yeah.
I didn't mean to cheapen it. What I meant to think, say, was that I knew you'd choose that.
Textbook is what you should
have said. Yeah, textbook, yeah, fine.
But as you say, if he's commentating on getting you up out of bed in the morning, all you'd just hear is, you'd wake up and all you'd hear is, away we go.
That'd be superb, wouldn't it?
You know, and if you had a really good day, then you had a bad day, you'd sit back down at night and, oh, what a contrast the previous day.
Or if you like you say about your house or whatever, for the second time that week, you will not learn. I did toy with the idea of having, if I really wanted someone to get me up and going and get me motivated and keep me on my toes, I did think about Roy Keane.
Yeah, that's a terrifying life, though.
You don't want to bring that in.
You never know when your phone's going to start having a go at you. No one wants that.
It depends. I mean, if you've got to get up and attack the day, and you've got to make sure you got to make sure you don't let anyone down. I mean, it might work for some people, the old carrot or stick.
What if you had Allardyce? The phone start trying to make deals with
you. Deal, yeah. He'd have done your new contract for your phone without you even knowing. So I've got your deal.
That's an idea. Yeah. I think I can be forgiven for giving myself the points.
Yeah, all right.
Fair enough.
Thank you very much.
Standard.
That's right. Pete's not here to argue that.
No. Although he'll have something to say about it when he listens.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt. Let's move on to the Premier League. Manchester City won Everton 1. What a great game.
Mm.
Two tactical lovies, yeah. Guardiola and Koeman, of course. But Martin Stekelenburg, absolutely superhuman stuff. Two pens, he saved.
It was fantastic. And it made me realise, because I saw them both in the same situation for the first time, that Ronald Koeman looks like Kevin De Bruyne's dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would have liked to have seen him giving him a ticking off. Like some sort of altercation, like a big Sam versus Chico Flores type altercation. Mm-hmm. It would have really looked like he was grounding him.
Yeah, well, when he missed the penalty, De Bruyne missed one of the pens, Koeman would have said, I'm disappointed, but I'm glad you did it.
Yeah.
They really should have won that game, obviously, given that they've missed two penalties. But you have to answer, can they do it on a seasonally typical Saturday afternoon?
Yeah. You've
had those it's so questions about Guardiola.
It's so funny the way it's turned around, because I remember saying on this show 4 weeks ago, or whatever it was, they're walking this league. They look like they're walking it. And all of a sudden, they're
two results later.
Home to Everton, which you think, I mean, Everton obviously a good team, and they've started well under Koeman. You think they should be winning that game.
Well, they've only got 1 point of the last two games, if I'm right in saying. And Spurs, of course.
And they go to New Camp this week in the Champions League as well, so that'll be a really interesting game.
Mm. I thought Lukaku's goal was superb. Oh, that flick from Bolasie, where he sort of back-heeled it in mid-air.
Wasn't even the best back-heel of the weekend. But it was very good. We'll come to that in a minute.
Oh, okay.
It was very good. But Lukaku, he made Gael Clichy, who's a very experienced top-level defender, just brushed him aside like he wasn't there. I mean, it would have been better for Clichy's sort of reputation if indeed he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's... Yeah,
I got caught out up the field.
It was artful butchery, it really was. it was an iron fist in a velvet glove. And the finish was just so compelling.
Lukaku's great at that. When he really gets the bit between his teeth. Remember, was it last season, the FA Cup, where I think he was against Chelsea?
Yeah, he scored a very similar goal, didn't he? Where he just battered it through.
Mm. And he can be great at that, which I suppose is why it can be frustrating sometimes, previously where he's gone little patches of the season not scoring. Well, and I know that look, not everyone can score.
No, but he's a streaky player, though. And I think that might, I don't know, maybe that's linked to confidence or as he's still quite a young man. So as he gets older and
they've gone through a few different regimes at Everton as
well. Exactly, yeah.
And this one looks the best of recent times. I mean, I know Moyes was there for a long time, but Koeman does look good. And Koeman, like I said, I'd fancy him to keep just going up in the game.
Oh, absolutely.
As I said before, I'd fancy maybe Arsenal next and then Barcelona.
Do you reckon he was saying to Guardiola, I'll put a word in, put a word in?
Yeah. I think he looked at Guardiola and went, you don't need to put a word in.
Yeah. What about...
But it was a great point for Everton.
It made me wonder if Spurs were showing the blueprints to be able to beat, how to beat City.
And possibly.
I know Everton didn't win, but I mean, the way that Spurs really crowded out, particularly Aguero, in the game when Spurs were able to beat them, where Aguero just like he had no time at all. I mean, despite Jagielka's best efforts.
Yeah.
Was it both penalties from him, wasn't it? I think he gave both away. One was a really shoddy trailing leg.
It's funny because they looked really defensively solid, yet gave away two penalties and weren't punished for it.
Yeah.
You know, that's been a real trait of them under Koeman, isn't it? They just look steady at the back compared to the chaos theory of Martinez's tactics
It does really just go to show how chaotic Martinez is, because before him it was Moyes, and they were really solid under Moyes, and now they're really solid again straight away. Just not so he didn't have the personnel, he didn't have the wherewithal about him.
I just imagine being a defender, especially a slightly older defender like Jagielka, coming up against the Guardiola side, particularly, you know, this one, obviously Barcelona back in the day, when you've got lots of very skillful, very quick players who are knocking it around, you know, a million miles an hour. It must just be like defending the Alamo. And one tiny little foot wrong, then it's a penalty or it's a goal. You know, the margins are so small.
They definitely are.
So they were so indebted to Stekelenburg. I mean, it wasn't just the penalty saves. He made some fantastic saves. But it's one of those afternoons he will never, ever forget.
I mean, the concentration needed against a Guardiola team, if you're playing in defence, must be so high.
But you'd be exhausted mentally, obviously physically, but you would just collapse in a sweaty heap.
That's what it takes, though, isn't it? And I guess, you know... Going back to what we were saying about how it looked like City would walk things, that is the standard in the Premier League. A lot of teams know it. Some of them can do it. And this season, Everton looked like one of those sides. You know, you're never going to be able to just brush aside everyone in the league with this depth.
I quite fancy Everton to take points off some of the bigger sides. I just think that it'll be games, you know, as I said before, at home to Crystal Palace. Or, you know, those types of matches where Everton, I think, will drop points.
But they're only 4 points off the top of the table.
No, I think they're having a great season. But I think that's why, I mean, you know, Pete was very vocal a few weeks ago about Everton not having a title challenge, which is fair enough.
Does Nolito look like a Spanish Joey Barton?
He does, yeah.
Slightly.
I think he does a bit, yeah.
And a Spanish Pete Donaldson, weirdly.
There was I'm not sure about that as much. But
Pete kind of looks like everyone, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, Pete's face like a blank canvas. The amount of times that people will give him lookalikes on the internet, and they're all widely different.
I get loads of lookalikes as well.
Paul Pesce-Salido.
But that's your particular favourite one. I get loads of different ones.
The great thing about Paul Pesce-Salido is that we first started saying that in about the year 2001.
Yeah.
He's not been in football for a while in any sort of meaningful capacity, but it's still...
When you say we, it was you at university. And you, it's the only place where I get that. I mean, fair enough, but as I say, it's all sorts of various things.
But Donaldson is the blank canvas face among us.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he just looks like any sort of... you know, technically adept, sort of London liberal man. / futuristic techno gimp.
Mm. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Because the thing, the irony being about when we get into the phase of life where computer-generated people are knocking about, artificial intelligence, you're going to look like all of them as well.
Yeah. how far away do you think we are?
Just a couple of years, tops.
Yeah.
Yeah, ask Pete when he comes back.
Yeah, who knows? He'll have been there.
He could be there by.
Speaking of lookalikes, obviously Steckelberg looks a bit like Gerard Butler, which made it even better because you think of him in 300 and Steckelberg just not letting anyone in the goal.
Do you reckon it'd be nice if he grabbed one of the Man City strikers and chucked him down a well? But when you said that the other day that Steckelberg looks like Gerard Butler, I actually remembered that this morning. I was looking on Google Images and I sort of convinced myself that I agree with you.
Yeah, it's not a brilliant one, but it's not a bad one.
No, I could see the resemblance, yeah.
Yeah, okay. We're going to talk more about the Premier League after this.
Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe. This is the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe. And this is the Football Ramble.
Elsewhere in the Prem, champions Leicester lost again. Very limp performance from Leicester, 3-0 Chelsea, of course.
It's like they made a deal with the devil last season, isn't it? And now they're just back to normal.
Did you see that Leicester City were wearing black armbands because of the death of the King of Thailand?
Is that right?
Really? Yeah.
Oh, is that what it was?
Because obviously they've got Thai owners.
Yeah.
But is that not a little bit? I mean, obviously I have no opinion at all on the King of Thailand. I think he was the longest serving monarch in the world.
That's
at
right.
That point.
Yeah,
you know, fine. But I mean, is that going a bit far? Should they just be strictly football related black armbands in the world of football?
Or in the country you're in?
I just think that, you know, if you've got to draw the line somewhere...
Shut up.
You've got to draw the line somewhere, haven't you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't really want to be doing black armbands for everything.
No, but what I'm saying is if Queen Elizabeth II died, you would imagine that... Or you know, it wouldn't be surprising
if... I see what you mean, because it would be like days of mourning and that sort of stuff.
Exactly. In this country, it would be quite strange if...
But Chelsea, on the other hand, Chelsea were wearing black armbands because of the sad death of William's mother.
That's
a little bit more.
Obviously,
I don't have a problem with any of it, really. But that's
I take the
problem with that.
I take the point you're saying. It is a slightly strange one.
And I also one of the things I sort of noticed. It's not a new thing. One of the things I noticed in the Leicester game is they don't, because when I first started seeing them this season, I thought, oh, because of these new tightened up of the laws around like physical aggressive defending and stuff, especially in the penalty area, they don't seem to be able to defend anymore.
Yeah,
especially Huth and Morgan. But actually, none of the forward players seem to be defending either.
Yeah.
And that was a real hallmark of Leicester last season.
Yeah, it's that they've lost the energy, haven't they? They've lost the bustle that made them so hard to play against. And also, there's Diego Costa's goal. Wes Morgan just wasn't marking him.
No,
that's not down to him, like, not being able to get tight enough. It's just, he wasn't concentrated.
Is he that scared about giving a pen? Well, I'll just let him go. Hope he missed. because as you said, look, about those change of rules, we did wonder about those two in particular.
Affecting Stoke quite badly, isn't it?
But it's not like they're giving away penalties as a result, or they're getting pulled up for it. They've just gone the other way, going, oh, we better lay off them.
I'm pretty sure I read a baffling statistic yesterday as well. I might have dreamt it. It's been quite a busy weekend. that Mahrez hasn't completed a pass to Vardy for over four games or something like that. Either. I'm not saying the wheels have come off, because obviously they've achieved a great deal.
Rattling around though, aren't they?
Yeah, it'd be churlish to sort of concentrate on that given what they achieved last season. But at the same time, it just feels like they're just perfectly happy to revert to type now. And as long as they stay up in the Premier League, they don't really care.
They'll have a relegation survival, and they'll get like the Champions League final.
But do you think
they're away in Copenhagen this week?
Well, Mahrez was rested, wasn't he, for the Champions League? And Ranieri, I think, is perhaps prioritising it. And actually, I just wonder that Leicester. I mean, realistically, if we can, have some realism back in the Premier League after last season, It would be a tall order for them to go and win the Prem again, especially with all the sides having improved. And with
they're 11
Guardiola.
Points on top already. They're 11 points.
So it was always going to be a big ask. And what do Leicester do? Okay, let's go for fourth or let's go for third, which would be a fantastic achievement. But actually, maybe Ranieri thinks to himself, do you know what? Let's be realistic here for the squad we've got and all the rest of it. If we just finish mid-table, okay. But he probably eyed up that Champions League group and thought, we can flip and we'll qualify out of that group.
Oh, they should do. They should win. Yeah,
and if they get out of that group, they can play like the Leicester of old, you know, slightly on the back foot. They'll be quite happy with that, like we keep saying that against Manchester United. Oh, they're going to, that'll play into their hands. Of course it didn't, and then Chelsea certainly didn't. Yeah. I just wonder if he really is prioritising that, thinking, let's try and do something special in that, because to try and do it on all fronts, they're never going to do it.
Must have been painful for them to see how good Kante was as well.
Yeah.
He got a good reception from the Leicester fans, to be fair, but he was all over the place. He was absolutely superb. Mm.
I do wonder if part of it as well is a huge psychological thing where, you know, all three of us all four of us, when Pete's here, have regularly said, like, they're probably not going to do anything near what they did last season. It was a great achievement, blah, 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 all of that stuff. If we know that, they know that. That's the whole mental focus coming into this season, isn't it? Mm. It's just try and do as well as you can, because this is never going to happen again. So if things do start going wrong, then psychologically, how do you react to that? You see a lot of teams, big teams, Man City are a great example, where a little slump starts to affect them psychologically. With Leicester, I mean, that's huge, isn't it? That everyone's expecting them to fall off a cliff. It's happening. And when that starts happening, like your fear coming true, it's so hard to arrest it.
Self-fulfilling prophecy, really.
It's all about the Champions League for them.
That game did contain the best back heel of the weekend. That Chilwell week back heel was unbelievable.
It was absolute class.
What way to make an impact.
Yeah, amazing. I absolutely loved it. Completely loved it.
Yeah. Park Ji-sung, ex-Manchester United player, is in Leicester at the moment, studying at De Montfort University. Did Pete go there?
He did, yeah. Okay. Yeah, are you linking him back with a move?
Well, he's about 35, although he looks about 25.
Yeah.
So maybe. He's studying management law and humanities of sport as a master's.
Imagine that. Park Ji-sung in your class.
Well, he's been playing a little bit of football for the university's sports management team.
Has he?
Imagine that. Like, yeah. It's a bit... You've got a Champions League winner on your side.
He's only playing for a departmental team. He should be playing for the main team, surely.
If you're in that department, do you have a bigger team, a first team? No, this is the only team we got.
Stick it, this is the only game in town.
That would be sensational. Yeah. I'll go up front, feed me.
the thing is, that's exactly what you would say.
Why not?
Yeah, I suppose not. Yeah. You know. He'd be doing everything at that level of the football. He'd be doing everything. He used to do everything when he was at United in those big games, didn't he?
That's right.
He'd be the real utility man, run all day, run himself into the ground.
Like three utility men.
Yeah, he would. At that level, he would.
I would go as far to say a slightly snobby paragraph in Andrew Pirlo's book about Park Ji-sung, when he said, as he put it,
that,
Sir Alex Ferguson, the purple-nosed manager of Manchester United, has got this wonderful reputation and legacy in the game, but he sullied it that night.
Yeah, he says something like, he can do no wrong in my eyes, all the things that Alex Ferguson achieved, but for that 90 minutes, he let the game of football down. He put a man on to mark you.
Because he put Park Ji-sung on Pirlo, and Pirlo hated having a man marker. Yeah.
That's because
he couldn't conduct his team.
Absolutely pathetic.
And he was going, I feel sorry for that. I mean, look, Pirlo's great. I think he seems quite a very amusing bloke, and obviously a great player and all the rest of it. But there's one little thing there where he doesn't get the fact that some players are happy to restrict others from playing, and he just can't understand.
And it's a completely legitimate part of the game.
Of course,
as well. Anyway, Pirlo knocks up in the sports humanities departmental five-a-side tournament this summer.
He's going to be like, for crying out loud.
I thought I'd have an easy ride this time.
Oh, dearie me. Arsenal beat Swansea, Jim. Yeah. Arsenal are the same points as Manchester City.
Did it. Actually got that win against Swansea, which is so important.
Just about.
Theo Walcott had an interesting day as well. Poached two goals. It's really nice to see him do that. And then he was unlucky to hit the post at the end, but he should have scored when he hit the bar late on the break.
If he'd have scored that, Arsenal would have gone top, I think.
A goal difference.
Oh, they would have gone equal on goal difference. So I don't know, maybe if it would go against the amount of goals scored, I haven't quite checked that. I'd imagine City would have more.
And what did they dish out for that in October again? it must be curious for Arsenal fans because Walcott obviously made essentially a game-winning contribution.
Yeah.
He was a difference
between absolute man,
but still really frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time.
Yeah, that's a strange one. But that's the two sides of Theo, isn't it? Like he does go on these scoring streaks sometimes, and hopefully he can keep this one up. And I just hope that miss doesn't affect him at the end. He seemed he seemed fairly positive and fairly, you know, measured in the post-match interview. But he always does, because I think actually he's already better than a lot of pundits on TV, Walcott, when you hear him speak. He's so calm and so likable and knowledgeable. And you think, actually, maybe he'll just go into being a pundit afterwards.
What, now?
Not now. When he retires at like 30.
The old Jermaine Genius.
He's got a bit of the genius about him, now as he's known Genius. Bob Bradley is the manager with the biggest discrepancy between how much kind and generous time his teams give players in the penalty area and how selfish and unkind he looks in the face.
Anyone's
going to be unkind. Someone said he looks like a skull in a condom.
Yeah.
I can't remember it was.
That's really good.
So I genuinely can't remember who said that first. I apologize that I've stolen that from somewhere, but it was very apt.
Very funny. Granit Xhaka as well. That's an interesting afternoon.
It's
still at the point where it's sort of funny.
It's harsh, that, though.
It was harsh.
The trouble was, if you're going to do a deliberate foul and get a booking, foul him.
At least pretend it isn't deliberate.
Yeah, don't go in that much.
Yeah.
I think
as well, he was at fault for Swansea's first goal, Sigurdsson's goal, which is a fantastic strike.
Sigurdsson. Yeah, he couldn't help himself.
The great thing about that Xhaka challenge is, unless I've misunderstood the laws of the game, which is eminently possible, I think he must have written that up as a red card for it was so late, it was unsportsmanlike behaviour. It wasn't excessive force.
No, there were slight echoes of that Rooney one. Rooney did that, remember, at Old Trafford once?
Yeah.
And he thought,
but he booted him, though.
That was a red card. But Rooney was like, I think I've seen like a couple of players in the Chilean national team do this. It's the sort of thing the foreigners do, it's a really good idea. I'll have a go. No way. Even within committing a foul, there's an art to it.
Yeah, pulls out a sledgehammer from his shorts and kneecaps the guy, hobbles him.
That's such a flippin' like English thing response to do.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Oh, so we're sometimes fouling can be good. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, but we know how to do that.
Someone was saying to me once back in the day, a number of years ago now, there was this train of thought in the Argentinian league that there was some sort of correlation in statistics between the team who fouls the most and the teams who win the most. Have you heard about that?
No.
And so,
I can imagine that is a dirty league.
And so they just, I guess they must have thought it psychologically, you dominate the other team by you keep fouling them, and the referee's not going to send everyone else to just do it.
Yeah.
I think they went through that phase of doing that for years in the Argentinian league. It might have been St. Rupert's or something like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a bit of a stretch, isn't it?
Argentinian football and Argentinian players and the national team is such an intriguing country when it comes to football, because you have some of the best players that have ever kicked a football come from that country. Yeah. Unbelievable talent. They churn them out year after year, and yet they're such a dirty bunch.
It's hard to think of another country.
Brazil are a little bit
the
like
young
that.
Talent leaves really young now, though.
Yeah.
So that does that obviously
to get them out of there.
Yeah, to protect them.
Yeah, right.
But that's why Wilson's book's called Angels with Dirty Faces.
Exactly.
Right? It's hard to think, and Brazil to an extent, but that aside, it's hard to think of another nation that produce players equally of that sort of size.
Yeah.
England certainly don't. England produce neither.
Yeah, one would be nice.
Yeah.
West Brom drew one all with
Spurs. Before you say that, can I just mention for the record, so it can be noted down in Hansard, that I particularly enjoyed Ozil's finish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry. You're right.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? It's a nice sign of the times as an Arsenal fan to see Mesut Ozil smashing a goal past Lucas Fabianski.
Yeah, he enjoyed that.
Goal. That
it was a lovely finish on his birthday as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was a few birthdays in the Premier. You don't normally associate the ball being booted really hard with Mesut Ozil.
No. If he had no option but to score, you know.
Yeah,
so
right.
That's probably lethal if you trick him into it.
I think he was aiming for the crossbar. He's trying to give the crossbar an assist.
No, he was trying to just rebound it out for someone else to have a tap. Yeah. But unfortunately for Ozil, it went in.
That's right.
Alex Iwobi as well had a very good display.
He was very good. But Spurs dropped points.
They did.
Away to West Brom. Although it was probably a point gained, obviously. It was a last-minute goal from Dele Alli. Dele Alli did miss a few chances, but you know, that can happen, because actually the goal he scored was very well done, considering that they were desperately looking for an equaliser. Mm. It's a lovely bit of craft from the young man. Chadley scoring against his old club.
Yeah.
Standard.
That was a proper boot as well into the roof of the net.
It was.
It's very satisfying, a roofed goal.
What about that thing Pulis said about Chadley?
I mean, we mentioned this in the Glasgow live show, but it's worth mentioning again. He absolutely startling admission on, I think it was Radio 5 Live on Saturday, how he got Chadley to sign for West Brom. He got him down to the club to have a look, and he took him out, and in Pulis's words, he gave him a load of wine, took him back to the training ground, and Chadley signed without knowing what he was doing.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not going to be good wine either. Is it?
Yeah, Echo Falls or something.
Yeah.
That's surely tongue-in-cheek, though. I'm sure he's overplaying that.
Actually,
hopefully.
Can I just pull you up a something there, Jim? I think Pulis is more of a home wine guy.
You think he makes his own
wine? I think
wine,
he might do, yeah.
Fortified wine.
I think he might do, yeah, in the basement or something.
I think that's a fair shout, yeah. Actually.
Yeah.
Mm, he's crushing the grapes between yeah. forearm and
with
bicep.
His fist rather than his feet.
Yeah. He would very much enjoy
crushing
that.
Crushing them under his cap.
Still just screaming,
Saito! 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 Doesn't even know why he's saying it anymore. Yeah. Can't remember. Just in a fever.
Putting the baseball cap tighter and tighter so the juice just drips down.
Yeah, got loads
chin.
Of grapes underneath
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Just crushing them within yeah. it.
Ben Foster had a great game in goal for West Brom.
I haven't seen the game. I have to concede. I saw the goals.
It was another great goalkeeping performance, obviously, along with Stekelenburg. I mean, Stekelenburg rightly takes the headlines. But Foster was really good in goal and frustrated Spurs for nearly all the game, of course. Pulis loves it, doesn't he? He loves taking a point or three off one of
yeah,
the,
well,
the big sides.
Spurs are having a party at the moment.
Actually, to be
bad
fair,
news, Tony's coming round.
Yeah. As I say that, it's like, which manager doesn't love taking a point or three off a big side? So, sorry, yeah. I've done Pulis a disservice there. But it was a good point, and a shame for Spurs, obviously, because they've just beaten, not that long ago, Manchester City, and they're in the hunt, but they're still in the hunt as well.
But the thing is, with Spurs, it's not like it was a bad performance from them, is it? They made a lot of chances. They were very energetic. They do what they always do. Just the nature of it is, some games are going to go that way.
And as you said at the start of this little bit, you know, they didn't know when they were beaten, and they, you know, it turned out to be a good point gained because it could have been a defeat, very easily been a defeat, conceding so late on, and they don't know when they're beaten, and you know, it's a good thing, it's a good sign, especially after, as you also rightly said, that performance of the season against City.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of the performances of the season,
wow.
Surely.
Hull City were on the end of one from Bournemouth.
Oh, big Mike Phelan, how's your first game in charge as permanent manager working out for you?
Well, you know how he before was always quite relaxed about it and went, yeah, you know, we give it our best shot and all the rest of it. Like Mike, you're the permanent manager now.
Yeah, you can't get away with that.
Yeah.
You can't just take a step or two into the background whenever you feel like it now.
No. They've conceded 17 goals in 4 games.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In 4 Premier League games. I think they only they only lost 2-0 against someone else in the cup, which is still quite bad.
Okay.
19-5.
Yeah.
There we are. That's not any better, does it?
The Bournemouth fans were chanting, easy, easy, easy.
Oh, nice.
Which I think might be my favourite chant in football.
Do you want to know my favourite observation from this game?
Go on.
Is that the commentator on Match of the Day, the way he was saying Vitality Stadium, it sounded like he was saying Fatality Stadium.
Oh,
and given that there was 6-1 up, it sounded quite apt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was a great win for Bournemouth. They're up to 11th. They're on 11 points, you know, which is not too bad from 8 games. 1-3.
Well, the problem with Eddie Howe is he's got to maintain.
Sorry, I said from 8 games, not 11 games.
So yeah, the problem with Eddie Howe is he's got to maintain that perfect equilibrium between obviously not getting relegated, but not doing too good a job that he might get the England job.
Yeah. It'll get to the point where it's not a choice.
No.
But you just get given it. You get drafted.
But it's going to get to the point, it gets to the stage, Jimbo, where someone like Eddie Howe's going to be given the job, the cab's going to drive him to the FA, going to leave the meter running, he's going to go in, agree to the job. Before he can do anything, he's going to be fired for some reason, or going to resign, get back in the cab, straight to the municipal tip.
Yeah.
Never work again.
Yeah.
That's what you got in store for you, Eddie. Yeah. If you do too good a job at Bournemouth.
Happen.
So stop winning 6-1.
That's
limit
right.
it to about 2 or 3-1.
Yeah.
Then no one's gonna be you're not gonna be anyone's radar that way.
Yeah, a few losses.
What he has done is he's shown you can wear a gilet with style. Basically.
He's
wearing it well, isn't he?
He's the closest I've seen to actually pulling it off.
Mm. You reckon?
Because he's got quite an easy manner about having quite a sort of fresh face.
Not sure. Wear what you want if you're winning.
You can, exactly. No one questions you, do they?
I love that. You just shook your head there. Because people knew that you disagreed.
Something else I noticed is that Hull City are sponsored by Sport Pacer, which I did some research into, and they're a Kenyan-based gaming company.
Ooh.
Well, they were actually Flamingo Land last season, weren't they, Hull?
Oh, yeah, they were. Mm. Let's not get into that again without Pete. Actually, I can say what I want now, Pete.
Yeah, the Flamingo Land's everywhere.
There's no such thing.
There's so many Flamingo Lands in Britain that foreign people from abroad actually call Britain Flamingo Land.
They're actually in one now. There's flamingos all around the place.
That's right. Yeah.
Flamingland. Can we talk about Steve Cook and his redemption?
Yeah, that's nice.
His 200th appearance. It's great. He scored an own goal, didn't he? Very unfortunate own goal, and then just sort of held his head in his hands. But
he gave the ball away cheaply in the first instance
did,
as well.
Yeah.
It was like a double effort.
Yeah, so it was really unfortunate. He was really frustrated, but he scored, didn't he?
He got them.
Did he equalise or did he put them in front?
2-1, I think.
Stanislas is having a good season for
Bournemouth. He is, isn't he? Yeah, he's a player that's been kicking about for a bit, who, you know, looked very much like a sort of functional player who's going to have a good career, but he's really sort of starting to you know, make some waves now.
His penalty was nice. I think what happened, Jim, was that Bournemouth went 1-0, then Mason equalised, then Cook, because of that error, And then Cook scored. Cook, it was almost like he went, hang on a minute, I don't think Hull are defending it. I'm getting myself right amongst it.
Yeah.
And scored a nice header.
In that kit, they're 1-0 down immediately, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Dreadful.
Yeah.
Dreadful appearance.
Yeah. Dreadful. At the time of recording, Liverpool have not played Manchester United, although I did enjoy Andy Cole's comments about Liverpool this season. I think an attack, they're sexy.
Oh, nice. Andrew Cole, you mean?
Andrew Cole. Yeah. That is what I do like.
Outstanding.
I do like them sexies.
It always reminds me of that famous football, fantasy football sketch of Andy Cole when he's been interviewed with someone else, like another player. I forget who it is. Yeah. Might even be Dwight York or something. And when they ask Andy Cole these questions, once he's finished answering the question, he just and they say, "I'll notice this, Andy Cole. Someone's turned him off."
Oh yeah.
And he just stood there like that, completely vacant until they ask him again. And he comes to life again.
Yeah. Wow.
Very odd.
Well, defensively, Cole isn't too sure about Liverpool. He said, "I look at the other side of them and see the other side. It is a bit Newcastle when I was there with Kevin Keegan."
Nice to get a mention. Nice.
There we are.
Defensively, they're absolute munters.
Yeah. nice that in a quote, the words sexy and Keegan were in there.
It's always nice to see. But Sky Sports have been trailing this game tonight, obviously, because we're recording on a Monday, all day as Red Monday.
Red Monday.
Hashtag Red Monday.
They're not both going to wear red, are they?
Impossible.
Corbyn's loving it. He thinks he's got the endorsement of Sky Sports.
Yeah, do you reckon he's flicked that on and thought, hang on a minute,
yeah,
this will turn up all right.
I'll go down Murdoch, there and Murdoch sit at the side
changed
of the
pitch.
His tune. Yeah. sat on a train full of empty seats.
Oh dear, we're going to go to the Championship after this.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back, everybody. We're still here. Don't forget the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365, out on Friday. We shall see if our bet comes in, because we bet on Liverpool beating Manchester United.
I think that's, I mean, you guys did that in my absence, of course, but I think it's a nice solid one.
It's a nice solid one.
I do
one.
Think Liverpool will get a result tonight. Same.
But we shall have to wait and see. Let's go to the Championship. Oh, sorry, Luke.
I wasn't going to say anything at all of interest.
All right. Well, we've come this far. Aston Villa 1, Wolves 1. Big Bruce is in the hot seat.
Oh, yeah, then.
Bruce talks about being slagged off by Villa fans for years, obviously due to his Birmingham City connection. But he doesn't hold a grudge, and they used to call him Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah.
Which he also said I took as a compliment.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I'm misunderstanding compliments.
He doesn't really look like a Mr. Potato Head, does he?
No, he doesn't.
Not a, It's not a good dig.
Should we do a Pete line by proxy? Because when Pete heard this, he did say quite a funny line, which is, imagine if you've got interchangeable facial features and you chose the one Steve Bruce has got. Because that's what Mr. Potato Head actually is. Yeah. Essentially, what they're trying to say is he looks like a potato, which isn't what Mr. Potato Head is. Mr. Potato Head is a kid's character.
Yeah, yes. Much like Pete, actually, the face is a blank canvas.
It is, yeah, quite. I wouldn't be surprised if Pete's were interchangeable as well, actually.
Derby beat Leeds 1-0.
Anyway, that's that game covered.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Steve is back.
Yep.
Big Steve McLaren, back with a win.
I mean, it's from the sublime to the ridiculous. Nigel Pearson goes out one door and in comes... Because they're essentially revolving doors on football league clubs particularly. Mm-hmm. And Nigel Pearson walks out one morning and Steve McLaren comes in. The players must not know what to think.
Do you think McLaren is like... You know you get those fish that swim really close to sharks so that the sharks can't
remora.
See them?
Remora. It's a remora.
Right, yeah. So maybe McLaren's like that for Pearson. He just wants to be like basically the furthest place away from him he can be.
This
is the last place he's been sacked from.
Just give me your scraps. Give me your bloody scraps.
But that is the point, though, isn't it? That it's such a change. Like, this is why a club like Southampton are doing pretty well, because they get a certain type of manager in who, obviously, the way the club is, with sporting directors and all that kind of stuff.
It's almost like they're running the club as a thoughtful, joined-up business.
Yeah.
And I, for one, dislike it.
I know you do. But most clubs don't run it like that. No. You go from Pearson to McLaren, and like you say, like the players are just going, hang on. One minute we were in prison, the next minute we've got the keys to the Ferrari.
Well, the guy running things at Derby County is apparently one of the masterminds behind Candy Crush, which is run by a company called King, who've made one of the most meteoric amounts of money. Like, they made billions, almost, not overnight, but very, very quickly. And he sold his stake or whatever and went away with hundreds of millions of pounds. And all of a sudden, football just is the lobotomy of society. You start making ridiculous decisions almost straight away. Yeah. Hiring Nigel Pearson for about 3 months in itself is a ridiculous thing to do. And then, Reverend McLaren back, even though we fired him before for being terrible.
I guess that does go to show, though, that it isn't a normal business and sort of, you know...
But the thing is, actually, thinking about having said that, McLaren wasn't terrible at Derby. He did okay. He came very close to getting promoted twice.
He arrived with a lot of expectation, didn't he? That was the problem.
But wasn't he in charge of Derby when they lost out in the playoff final to Redknapp's QPR?
They should have won that day.
So he was unlucky.
And then the next season, I think, forgive me if this is wrong, but I think it was the next season, they just missed out on the playoffs. And so I think that was like the last sort of straw for that particular thing.
So Sexy Steve has got a little bit of the Jekyll and Hyde about his management career, because if you think of things he's done at places like Twente, did very well. Yep. Went to Wolfsburg, didn't work out for him.
Middlesbrough did okay. He did well.
He got to the UEFA Cup final with Middlesbrough, of course. Did well at Derby, but did poorly at Newcastle. So, you know... It's
terrible at Forest.
Did really badly at Forest.
England?
I haven't even mentioned them.
Yeah.
So you never really know what you're going to get with him.
Yeah.
So maybe it's unfair to say that he's terrible, because
I think he was doing good work at Derby, but I think that obviously they were so close to going up that first season, and then to miss out on the playoffs the next season. I think
might have been hard to lift them again.
Yeah, because I think maybe they'd spent a few quid. Mm. And that is the modern game, whereas years ago, they'd have thought, oh, this guy will get us promoted the next few years.
Yeah.
Clubs don't want the next few years. They want it now.
Yeah.
And that's obviously what they've done. Speaking of the here and now, Neil Warnock's off to a winning start at Cardiff City. Speaking of old hat.
Warnock gets a lot of stick, and not, you know, on this show included, and, you know, fine, he is a little bit of a what's-his-name, but...
if he knows how to get out of the league.
If he gets Cardiff promoted, that'll be his eighth career promotion.
That is impressive.
That is amazing.
Impressive.
But he is a part of that classic group of English managers who have, you know, pretty decent record in the Championship, getting sides up to the Premier League, and when they get to the Premier League, they are exposed.
Yeah. Well, there were stories at QPR of how, you know... I forget which player it was, but there was someone who did an interview just talking about how there were times where they'd look over at the dugout and he just didn't have a plan for when they were getting battered.
I'll always have a certain amount of affection in my mind for Neil Warnock, because once on the radio, and I've got no particular beef with John Cross, the guy who writes for The Mirror anyway, but it was very funny. John Cross was trying to... he was saying something about Neil Warnock, and Neil Warnock was on the phone, and Warnock did the most amazing sort of... absolutely brilliant, patronising of John Cross. He just kept going, yeah, but the thing about John, John, he loves Arsenal, does our John. And when he talks about Arsenal, he talks very, very well. And we like listening to him talk about Arsenal because he loves Arsenal, John.
Yeah.
But when it comes to other stuff, other parts of football.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
He's got such a funny manner, Warnock, isn't
I
he?
Do, I
it was
I
a,
do.
It was a really patronising, but at the same time, quite good-natured, yeah. Big swinging of the dick around, saying, listen, I've worked in the game for 40 years, pal. You leave me out of it.
If Warnock was in the 70s, he'd probably have a league title to his name.
Yeah,
do you know
would,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And he is of yesteryear, and I do quite like that about him.
I just love the way he kept calling him our John.
I told you, yeah, that's class. I told you, didn't I? I met him once in a previous job, and he was managing Palace at the time. And he said, who do you support? And I thought to myself, oh, he'll love it if I say Palace and we'll have a little chat. So I just went, oh, you know, I sometimes go and watch Palace and all this other stuff, which is a lie. And
you lied to Neil Warnock.
Yeah. And he went, because he just took over at Palace and the club wasn't in a particularly good state. And it was brilliant because it just fed into all that kind of stuff. And he took over and I said, oh, yeah, someone's going to watch Palace play. And he went, oh, well, have a bit of faith, son. We're trying to sort it out. And when I got in there, it was an absolute disgrace, but we're sorting it out now. You're going Saturday, are you? He was all like this. But I reckon that if I had an opinion on, like a proper opinion on stuff like that, he probably would have listened.
Yeah.
On the match of the, or whatever league they were in, you know, the Football League show, or whatever it would have been at the time, he'd have been like, well, I was talking to this lad the other day and he said I should have put him on the wing. So actually, I gave it a go. It was all right.
Listen, lad, we're playing three at the back today. I spoke to a little chap, our Marcus.
He's here today.
He
I don't want to disappoint him.
Yeah, he loves Palace as our Marcus. he's never been.
I love the way that he speaks, though. He sounds like a teacher who's giving whoever he's speaking to a detention, but he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, I've got to do this. I've got to do this, son. You know, but, you know you've acted up. You're not a bad lad. I know you're not a bad lad.
He does
but,
for that a lot.
You'd want him as a head teacher.
But you know, there, when he was managing further down the leagues, it might have been, it was a club like Rotherham, someone like that. And they did a sort of behind fly on the wall type documentary of one. It was years ago. And he was swearing like a trooper and shouting and screaming about some first half performance that they had. So he can flick a switch.
Oh, yeah, you would imagine, yeah. But as long as you don't flick the switch.
Well, no, quite. Well, one of the things that was... that's why you said you supported Palace, presumably.
Damn right,
on the wrong side of it. one of the highlights of the championship this weekend was Ross Wallace taking the tactics from the other player in the Huddersfield game.
It's a good win for Sheffield.
Yeah, it's a really good win because Huddersfield started so well.
Yeah. Mm. We were in Leeds the other night and there would have been... I'd imagine there would have been Wednesday fans. There was a few Huddersfield fans there. And they would have been unhappy, Jim, losing a derby match. Newcastle beat Brentford as well. Pete was there to witness that.
But not here today to tell us about it.
He's not, but he did say it was just a lovely old time.
Yeah.
And he said, what did he say? He said, oh,
I found a football dad. He said that, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
So he sat next to an old guy who became his football dad for the day.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So whatever that entails, I have no idea.
Pete evidently needs a dad in any activity that he's doing. But I must say, I'm genuinely very happy for Pete and all Newcastle fans that they can actually enjoy their team again. Mm. I know it must be maddening to have been relegated, but they're playing some good stuff. There's some coherence there. They're a big fish in a small pot, well, a smaller pond.
All they needed to do is get relegated to enjoy it again.
Yeah, exactly. if they don't get promoted this season, maybe do bomb out of the Championship next season. Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's all right down there.
Imagine in League One.
And everyone having a lovely time.
Yeah. Tell you what, if they got relegated again, they'd still probably manage to beat Portsmouth with a last-minute goal, I expect.
Well, you think Portsmouth are going to go up?
Oh, so if they got relegated again.
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah.
No, I did not think Portsmouth were going to go up.
Okay.
And I think you know that.
I fancy them to go up, but I don't think Newcastle are going to go down the Pompey Highway just yet.
No, well, hope not. League Two, speaking of League Two, Portsmouth had an absolute... the only reason I bring this up, you know, I don't always bring up Portsmouth.
Not always.
It's textbook, though. You guys will love it. So Portsmouth went away to Plymouth at the weekend.
Yes. Big game.
They're top of the league, and there's obviously the Dockyard Derby as well.
Obviously.
Even though they're about 300 miles apart. But they knocked Portsmouth out in the semi-final playoffs last season.
Yeah.
Portsmouth were terrible. So Portsmouth went away to Plymouth. It was 1-0 at half-time.
Yeah.
In the 86th minute, Danny Rose, not that one, scored a great goal off the crossbar and it bounced over the line, came out again.
Yeah.
And they weren't sure whether it was going to be given or not. The referee gave it. Obviously, they don't have Hawkeye, but the referee gave it. The away fans were absolutely spare, mental, jumped out of the away end, were danced around, obviously thought they had a winner.
Pompey for the win.
2-1, yeah. 89th minute, Plymouth equalised. So
yeah, that's
2-1.
Right, that's right. Well,
there hasn't been a team, and I challenge any listener listening to this show today, to find me a team in the English Football League or the Premier League who have conceded more goals in the last 15 minutes of games than Portsmouth. Going back to the start of last season, you will not find a team.
I love it. What I love about that is that you would have rather drawn 1-1 than had the, the carrot of 3 points dangled.
It was a lovely goal, and Danny Rose won't agree because he scored a beauty, and it was an absolute, it was a really, really great goal, arguably the best goal of the season.
It's
for,
a shame.
For Portsmouth, but yeah, pegged back as per.
A great show.
It's almost like what you were talking earlier about the self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
But they know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So they
make it happen.
They somehow conspire to make it happen. Yeah.
Well, what they should do then is bring on two defenders in the last 15 minutes and think, well, we know. Well,
then they'll score an own goal, won't they?
Even though we're 3-0 down, we don't want to concede that fourth.
Right, you lost 3-0. Well, all the goals scored in the first 75 minutes. Yeah. Oh, well done.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Did it ever occur to you that the other team didn't need to score in the last 15? It went easier than you. Speaking of 3-0s, we go to League One. Charlton beat Coventry 3-0. Pigs were on the pitch at the Valley. That was the big story there. Both sets of fans were protesting about poor leadership of their clubs. So threw little plastic pigs onto the pitch.
What I like about that is it was a co-organised event between Coventry, who've also been treated very harshly, and Charlton.
Coming together.
And it's good that they're still doing it, Charlton fans, because when I was there final day of last season, they were doing it and they wanted to make their voices heard.
They're getting really good at it.
But there's all sorts of things that have ended up on pitches at Charlton. They did, Borussia Dortmund was tennis balls.
When I was there, it was there was a big net up.
Beach balls.
There you go. But they put a net up when I was there to stop that happening. So they're throwing things that were small enough to get through the net. And flares.
Okay. I love that. They think, right, okay, we're going to take the net away. It's been long enough. As soon as the net's down,
out come the pigs.
You know, sometimes you have that final day of the season sort of like
fancy dress
carnival
party
thing. Yeah. Well, that was happening in that game, because that game I saw last season, it was Charlton-Burnley. Burnley were going to win the game easily, and they did do that, and they ended up obviously being promoted. I think that was the day they won the league. Was that right? Yeah, I think it was. And But at one point, there were so many flares being thrown on the pitch, and because Burnley were attacking down the other end, the security people were just coming on, putting them out while the game was carrying on.
Oh, my
God. So they weren't even stopping the game after a while.
Yeah.
Because I guess they probably thought, we're not going to get out of it. It's about 8 o'clock otherwise.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like with the whole Blackpool thing. You know, what do these owners like? The mindset of those people,
Wasn't Blackpool tennis balls as well? I think it might have been.
They did tangerines.
Did they? Yes. Okay.
As
okay,
well. Right. I think.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but there's so many protests going on, like, and things aren't getting better. It's not like the club are challenging for promotion or anything like that. The owners of these clubs...
Well, Charlton are doing a bit better this season.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're 15th.
Yeah, but I mean, last season they were absolutely appalling.
Yeah, sure, but, like, know when your time's done.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know what you mean.
I know it's not the easiest thing in the world to just suddenly, you know, sell a football club or whatever, but these guys, for some reason, are almost... They have to be revelling in it, or they think, well, now we're going to turn it around, but they're showing no signs of turning it around.
It's not even showing no signs of turning it around. It's showing disdain for the fans and the protests, isn't it? Which you know, it's both those...
But how much can you enjoy being hated?
Well, it's the Pompey Highway. It's been the it's been the Blackpool Boulevard. It might be the Charlton... I don't know.
Canyon?
Could well be.
It could well be next.
I hope not.
Yeah. Let's go to La Liga. Now, some people suggest that La Liga isn't as competitive across the league as others. Well, Barcelona won 4-0, Real Madrid won 6-1 away from home, and Atleti won 7-1.
Yeah.
There you go.
Again, standard.
That's right. It's incredible, isn't it? Griezmann actually didn't score in the 7-1 win for Atleti. He did play for about an hour, I think. Frank Ribery had some interesting views on...
Oh, I like it when Frank pipes up.
Yeah. I mean,
it's been a while, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not so much... I mean, it was a little bit on Griezmann, but it was more of a general point, saying that players like Griezmann can't be considered world-class after one good season. And he is right. I do agree with that largely, although Griezmann's been good for more than one season.
But
Ribery then goes on to mention that he himself has been at the top of his game for the past 10 years, so
it's
presumably
not really about Griezmann, is it?
Yeah. I mean, he did say, well, I was injured for about 9 months or whatever, but yeah, presumably he can be considered world class, which, to be fair, Ribery has been a wonderful player.
He has, actually quite underrated.
I've got no problem with anything he said there. I just don't know why he's saying it.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think he was asked about Griezmann being, you know, world class and all that kind of stuff, and managed to turn it back round to himself.
As all good football players should do.
Yeah,
he's won it back.
That's what Zlatan would do.
Yeah. Griezmann, a Champions League final last season, you know, top scorer at the Euros.
Let's talk about
Frank for a bit.
He's won possession of the credit.
Can I also just say, international teammates. Getting on well.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, dear.
That's unlike the French national team, that,
yeah,
isn't it?
Or to fall apart.
Because I'm as an Englishman, I've got a lot of room to talk about that sort of thing.
Maybe England need to do that, because France, they got to the final.
Imagine that.
It's a fair point, actually, and it's worth mentioning. When was the last time you saw or heard of a bunch of England players actually having a row?
Oi, they don't care about it, mate. No passion.
It's true though. But the only time I can remember thinking about hearing something about that was when the Man United and Liverpool players had a faction back in the late 90s.
They don't fight. They just go into different rooms.
Yeah, I know.
Play different computer games.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Sevilla won 3-2 away from home. The reason why I mention that is Sami Nasri scored. So it's good to know he's having a nice time, Jim.
I don't think Guardiola cares.
No, neither do I.
I don't think Guardiola even raised so much as an eyebrow when seeing the score.
All right, Ancelotti raised an eyebrow. It was nothing to do with that. He was asked about that recently, and he said, yeah, I had a look at it, and even I think it's a bit strange, but it's just something that happens.
Well, as a fellow eyebrow mover yourself, you must empathise.
Yeah. I have full control over that eyebrow, though, whereas Ancelotti doesn't. But I think I quite like that.
Rogue eyebrow.
But I think if you sail too close to the eyebrow wind, you might end up like Ancelotti, and it might just be permanently arched.
Are you suggesting if the wind changes, his eyebrow will develop a mind of its own?
Could see it happening.
It's an interesting theory.
It's good for Brown Ramble.
Indeed it is. Do you have some highlights of the week, Luke?
Yes, why not? Do you want to do your highlight first, Marcus?
My highlight was Mauro Icardi.
This is weird.
It was just absolutely outstanding because he has fallen out spectacularly with the Inter faithful. Now, Icardi, he scored a few goals for the club, for crying out loud.
But it's to do with him chucking a shirt in, isn't it?
Well, I think he had an autobiography.
Recently.
And in that, he spoke about some of the ultras had given him a bit of jip. And he went over to them and they were, as I say, they were giving him a bit of stick. And he took his shirt off and gave it to a young lad in the crowd. And one of the head ultras ran over, took the shirt off the young lad and threw it back at him.
Good bloke.
Has to be. Definitely a
good bloke. Literally stealing things from children to make a point.
Which had made the child very happy in a sea of really horrible.
But the guy then said that Icardi was using the child to boost his status or basically hide behind the sort of the child in a sense. And Icardi obviously disagreed with that and stood up to this ultra. But of course, if you stand up to one of the ultras in Italy, it's just a different kettle of
fish. The report I read was saying that they were worried that the ultra in question was going to go around to Icardi's house.
It's just crazy out there with all that kind of stuff.
They also, the ultras themselves claim that this never happened.
Oh, okay.
That Icardi's
that
just making it up.
That might be annoyed then.
So, yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, he's only 23, Icardi. Yeah. He just seems to attract so much trouble, doesn't he?
He will probably need a move now because that... that is just seeped into the culture of clubs, probably most clubs out in Italy. I know in other countries it's the same. If you fall out with those ultras, they will just never forgive you. They will be on your case. He missed a penalty in a 2-1 defeat for Inter, and they celebrated him missing a penalty.
That's untenable, surely.
You wouldn't get that at the Emirates, Jim. No. I mean, they barely celebrate a penalty of their own.
Well, they wouldn't sign him.
lol.
Right, here we go. Let's listen to some listeners' highlights. Mm. Damien Allmark, hello to you, Damien. He says, Diego Maradona trying his level best to start a fight with Juan Sebastian Verón during a friendly match organised by the Pope for the benefit of world peace.
Yes.
Good
Didn't he also take a dig at Rafa Benitez for absolutely no reason?
Completely uncontextual.
Maradona was then trying to suggest that he would be like a warrior for the Pope or something. It's not what the Pope's after.
He hasn't asked for it.
Yeah, he doesn't need a bodyguard. Well, he does, but not the kind you mean.
Here's one for you, Jim, from Dave McDonald. He says, my highlight has to be Jim having one last dig at not awarding me a ramble mug a few weeks ago by writing in the inside of my book this weekend, sorry for mugging you out of a mug and killing your ancestors.
Well,
he finishes by calling you a little Campbell slug.
Very good.
He can do that all he likes.
This is because the Campbell clan and the
McDonald clan, we've had beef. And as I've said before, if we were in charge of the beef, it would be of a finer quality than theirs.
It's very much consigned.
If you want a mug, you can just buy one.
Jim, this is very much consigned to the past, though, this clan feud, though, would you say?
I've never heard of a more unconvincing way of trying to get someone to buy a mug. One, you're not having one. If you want one, just buy one.
Buy a mug, sit inside it, have yourself a mug.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dave.
A muggy little bath. Go on,
Matt Tilby says, Tim Cahill, Pete's favourite corner flag punching Australian, scoring on debut for Melbourne City at the age of 36. In the Melbourne derby as well, no less, and with a half volley from 40 yards.
Let me tell you something. That is a strong candidate already for goal.
It's a fantastic goal.
It is an absolute beauty.
It was quite opportunistic.
Mate, come on.
Bit of a swinger.
No, I'm not having that. That was the craft on that, because the way he hit it, it was so hard to hit.
It's a nice little fact, this, because Matt also just finishes up by saying that was Tim Cahill's first goal in an Australian domestic competition at the age of 36.
Nice. Wow.
As an Australian. Quite interesting.
That's cool.
And I'll end with this one, because it's a good one. Neil Grant, he says, as a York City fan, my highlight, I suppose it's not really his highlight, but he wants to mention it, I suppose, has to be the saga of Jackie McNamara. Now, if you guys haven't seen this, I'll read you the story. He joined last season when the club were third bottom of the Football League. We then finished dead last. He's then taken us to sixth bottom of the conference. The last draw seemed to be losing to Guiseley, 6-1, who had not won a game all season. He decided that he would resign if they failed to get a result at Braintree, but supposedly a 1-1 draw turned out to be a result, in quotes. So he thought about it, had a chat with the chairman. Finally, he resigned, but would only leave once a new manager was appointed, so he became a caretaker manager. Now we've appointed Gary Mills. That's the end of McNamara, you would think, but he has now just been appointed chief fucking executive. Good luck in the madhouse, Mr. Mills.
Oh, man.
So basically, Gary Mills, who's been drafted in, is now working for the guy. He was so bad, they're 20, 30 places below they were beforehand.
Well, it's quite funny, actually, because there was people at both live shows on the weekend. Leeds, of course, which, you know, York isn't far. And he's an ex-Celtic man, Jackie McNamara. So when we were up to Glasgow, they were talking about that there as well. So.
Well, I had a guy who came up to me after the live show in Glasgow and told me a great story about watching Rangers while sat behind Robert Carlyle,
the actor,
who went into full-on Begbie mode when someone was slagging off a player.
I did ask him to email this in.
Right, I can't remember his name and I can't remember the story. Yeah. So this is a call to arms.
Damn right, yeah, because it was a good story.
Get in touch and we'll read it out.
Yeah. Any highlights, Jim? Probably Arsenal.
Yeah, that was lovely. Just beating that curse was bloody lovely.
Yeah, indeed. Any more for any more?
I'm sorry, I was having a drink of water. No, I've got
that's
nothing.
That's all right. Obviously, audible.co.uk/football. Mm. Ramble.
Yeah, of course, we should obviously point out that this Thursday our book is out and available from Amazon, the Football Ramble, all these usual places.
Waterstones.
Waterstones. But you should also do take advantage of the audible.co.uk/football ramble offer,
yes,
where you can download the audiobook completely free of charge from Thursday. Well, you can order it now and it'll be delivered into your iTunes on Thursday, I suppose. But yeah, Thursday's when it comes out. And it's available widely from this Thursday, the 20th October. Thank you everyone who comes to the live shows and who's bought a book and who's enjoying it, and we've had a lot of emails about that.
Honestly, the live shows were brilliant. Thank you to all those who came to Leeds and Glasgow, and it really was fantastic.
And we've got some more coming up, so if you want to come to see us in Cardiff, you can do so. If you want to go to see us in Bristol, you can't because it's sold out, but Brighton and London are also still available, so do go to thefootballramble.com and hoover up a ticket there.
Hoover them up, yeah. But yeah, honestly, thank you so much. It really was great to spend a little bit of time with you, and we hopefully will see more of you at the live shows, as Luke has just said. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.